Good morning and welcome to the Unitarian Universalist Congregation of the South Fork. All who come are welcome here. My name is Ken Dorff. I'm a member of the congregation. I am your worship associate this morning. Our musicians this morning are the, I must say, brilliant, Maxfield and Leo Panish. Maxfield and Leo. Leading worship services our minister, Reverend Kimberly Johnson. Ours is a shared ministry, so Kimberly leads the service about 2 to 3 times a month. And on other times, it's lay-led or guest speakers. To begin, I'd like to share a few announcements with you. Next week, we're going to celebrate our annual water gatherings. Remember to put on your calendars an alert the day before to go bring some water from your favorite pond or ocean or bay or somewhere you've traveled. Also, there's a congregational picnic and potluck on...
Next week,
okay. And then a new Jim Crow discussion, which I'm hoping to go to, is 3 p.m.
Next week.
Okay, so we're busy people next week.
Welcome to the Unitarian Universalist Congregation of the South Fork. I'm Kimberly Johnson. I am delighted to be back with you after such a long summer. Our theme this month is covenant. We, you use, are quick to say that we are non-creedal, non-dogmatic. We are a covenantal faith. What does it mean for us to be a people of covenant? This service will explore that question. We begin with words from Sarah C. Stewart to remember our promises. Bring who you are as you enter our church this morning. Bring your best self, your struggling self. Bring your mistakes and your triumphs. Bring your shortcomings and your recommitment to good. Bring yourself here and open your heart to beauty, to truth, to the door that is open to the presence of God. Here in this church, we are trying to walk together on the peaceable way, trying to hammer out our divisions, our hatred, and all that separates one from another. We try and we will fall short, but held in love, we try again. We come together this morning as a church to bow our heads in prayer, to raise our voices in song, to remember our promises, and to vow to live by them once again. Come, let us worship this morning. We begin by lighting our chalice each week as a symbol of our faith, representing the enduring life and warmth of this community.
Our responsive reading this morning is printed in your order of service here in the white section. I'll read the plain text and appreciate if you were invited to read the italicized text. Let us covenant with one another to keep faith with the source of life, knowing that we not our own. Earth made us. Let us covenant with one another to keep faith with the community of resistance, never to forget that life can be saved from that which threatens it by even small bands of people choosing to put into practice an alternative way of life. And let us covenant with one another to seek for an ever deeper awareness of that which springs up inwardly in us, even when our hearts are broken
by our own failure, by the failure of others, cutting into our lives,
even when we have done all we can,
and life is still broken, there is a universal love that has never broken faith with us, and never will.
This is the ground of our hope and the reason we can be bold in seeking to fulfill the promise.
Thank you.
I invite you to enter into or continue in a spirit of meditation, reflection, to let go of any worries that you brought in here with you this morning, and to be present. Our words this morning are from Laura Horton Ludwig. What we do matters. Spirit of life and love, we are here because we believe what we do matters. We are here because we believe how we live our life matters. We are here because we believe every act of kindness or meanness, courage or fear, love or hate, we are weaving the fabric of the universe that holds us all. We are here because we need encouragement, because we need strength, because so often we get distracted. We get into a rush. We don't think. We choose the easy way when the harder path is what our spirit truly longs for. We are here because none of us are perfect, but together we inspire one another to try again, to take another step. We are here because we have felt the stirrings of love and grace in our hearts and hands, and we crave more of that for ourselves and for others, for everyone. We are here because we believe how we live matters.
Our reading this morning is The Five Major Ingredients of Covenant by James Luther Adams, a Unitarian Universalist theologian and social ethicist. One, human beings, individually and collectively, become human by making commitment, by making promise. The human being as such, as Martin Buber says, is the promise-making, promise-keeping, promise-breaking, promise-renewing creature. The human being is the promise-maker, the commitment-maker. Two, the covenant is a covenant of being. It is a covenant with the creative, sustaining, commanding, judging, transforming powers, which may be interpreted theistically or non-theistically, humanistically. In a religious covenant, the orientation is to something we cannot control, but something upon which we depend, even for our freedom. Jonathan Edwards calls it the covenant of being. Three, the covenant is for the individual as well as the collective. The individual is brought out of separateness into covenant. We are responsible for individual behavior, but also for the character of society. Four, the covenant responsibility is especially directed towards the deprived. Whether these be people suffering from neglect and injustice, or those who are caught in the system that suppresses them, that suppresses their own self-determination. It is the gap between covenant and system, between ideal and behavior, that creates deprivation. It makes it difficult for a top-flight executive, for example, to speak out in public regarding his or her dissident convictions. Five, the covenant includes the rule of law, but it is not fundamentally a legal covenant. It depends on faithfulness, and faithfulness is nerved by loyalty, by love. Violation of the covenant is a violation of trust. What holds us together, according to this dual covenant, then, is trustworthiness, eros, love. Ultimately, the ground of faithfulness is the divine or human love that will not let us go. Here we see the theological basis for accountability by persons and by church. This may be the fundamental intellectual agenda for today, a doctrine of the covenant, whether it be given that name or not.
As Unitarian Universalists, we return again and again to this idea of covenant. Before becoming a part of my first UU community, I'll admit it's not something I thought much about. It has a distinctly religious connotation, and I spent my adolescence and early adulthood having as little to do with religion as possible. But Unitarian Universalists are all about the covenant. In many UU communities, certainly in my experience of UU communities, our children grow up learning about covenants from the earliest ages. In our kindergarten and one religious education classes and onward, not only do our children learn about covenants, they are invited into the process of creating one. Every year, sometimes mid-year, as a new group begins, they create a new covenant with each other, so that by the time they are teenagers, they are leading the covenant-making discussions. And in our adult UU world, most new gatherings of people coming together for whatever purpose, learning, worship, justice-making, begin with building a covenant. Our seven principles are a covenant. They begin with the preamble, "We, the member congregations of the Unitarian Universalist Association, covenant to affirm and promote." Organizationally, it's a covenant that congregations enter into with each other. Within some congregations, the members make a covenant with each other. Even unspoken, there is often an implied covenant. In the most basic of terms, a covenant is an agreement, for good or ill. My 20-year-old activist self would have been more likely to talk to you about restrictive covenants, agreements that essentially shut African Americans out of the legitimate real estate market, than I would have talked of any kind of religious covenant. But in a religious covenant, a covenant that we make with each other in religious community, it's more than just an agreement. Theologically, a covenant is an agreement about how we will be in relationship with each other. A covenant is a commitment to relationship. A covenant is a promise of how we will remain in relationship with each other. And Unitarian Universalists are all about the covenant, because without a creed or a dogma, without a book of rules and expectations telling us how we are to be and what we are to believe, each new gathering is an opportunity or a challenge to set forth our set of agreements of how we will be in relationship with each other, at once exhilarating and exhausting. In religious community, in Unitarian Universalist religious community, what undergirds our agreement, what gives it support and a solid foundation, is a sense of shared values and common mission. What keeps it standing is a commitment to relationship. Our covenants are like promises, not very different from the promise in the story earlier. A promise sets forth some expectation of behavior. My promise to you tells you what you can expect from me. And that way, they are aspirational. The act of promising recognizes that our future is uncertain. I can no more guarantee you that I will never let you down than I can guarantee you that this congregation will exist 100 years from now. But I can make you promises. I can promise to be honest with you. I can promise to be a good steward of your resources. And you can make some promises. We can make some promises to each other. We could promise to be honest with each other, not just about the joyful things, but also about the things that are challenging. We could promise to hear each other's discomfort without defensiveness, but with compassion instead. We could promise to be good stewards of each other's resources. We could promise to be gentle keepers of each other's hearts. In that way, our promise is aspirational. And so framing our covenant as a promise, not just an agreement, recognizes that. Our covenant is an agreement of how we will be with each other. It is a promise to do what we can to honor those agreements. It is a promise to remain in relationship with each other. And because a promise recognizes the uncertainty of our future, it leaves space for the possibility, the likelihood, that we may fall short. It leaves space to begin again in love. Theologian James Luther Adams describes the five major ingredients of covenant. Beyond the question of what is a covenant, Adams answers the question, why covenant? He says that human beings individually and collectively become human by making covenants, by making promises. It's like that quote from Hillel the Elder in Your Order of Service. If I am for myself alone, if I am for myself alone, what am I? The desire to enter into covenant fulfills some profound instinct, some great need in us. It speaks, I think, to this belief that we are interconnected. We are born into relationship, whether we choose them or not. Our chosen faith asks us to decide, how will we live those relationships? Second, Adam says that covenant is a covenant of being. That simply by virtue of being here, of occupying space on this planet, we are invited into covenant. It is, Adam says, a covenant with the creative, sustaining, commanding, judging, transforming powers, which may be interpreted theistically or non-theistically, humanistically. In a religious covenant, the orientation is to something we cannot control, but something upon which we depend. So, to be clear, in theist terms, this is a covenant with God. In non-theist terms, this is a covenant with what Adams calls the creative, sustaining, commanding, judging, transforming powers of the universe. In humanistic terms, it is a covenant with humanity, with each other. However we understand, however you understand the ultimate power of the universe, our covenant holds an understanding that we are in relationship with something beyond ourselves, which we cannot fully control. And so our covenant is for the individual as well as the collective. The invitation to covenant draws us out of isolation and into community. For the benefit of ourselves, and for the benefit of the larger community. And here, Adams refers not just to the benefit of covenant, but also the responsibility. If we accept that we are interconnected, this recognition that we cannot fully control the universe doesn't let us off the hook. We are responsible for ourselves, our behaviors, the energy that we put out into the universe as part of a larger whole. Because all of our individual behavior, our choices, our actions, our non-actions, our energies create and recreate our common world. Adams advises that this responsibility is especially directed toward the deprived, whether these be people suffering from neglect and injustice, or those who are caught in a system that suppresses them, that suppresses their own self-determination. He is reminding us that if we are to honor the inherent worth and dignity of all people, then those of us in positions of power and privilege, wherever we find ourselves in positions of power and privilege, have the responsibility to right the ship toward equity and toward universal self-determination. Or to use the words of Theodore Parker and later of Martin Luther King Jr., we have the responsibility to bend the arc of the universe towards justice. Adam concludes with this one final ingredient. Covenant depends on faithfulness. It is nerved by loyalty, by love. Violation of the covenant is a violation of trust. What holds the world together, according to this dual covenant, is trustworthiness, love. And the ground of faithfulness is the divine or human love that will not let us go. The Persian poet Hafiz put it this way: out of a great need, we are holding hands and climbing. Not loving is a letting go. Listen, the terrain around here is far too dangerous for that. Not loving is a letting go. The terrain around here is far too dangerous for that. Defining a covenant is only half the journey. I have been pondering these last few weeks the quote from the Quaker teacher Douglas Steer. The ancient question, he says, of who am I, inevitably leads to a deeper one. Whose am I? Because there is not identity outside of relationship. You cannot be a person by yourself. To ask, whose am I, is to extend the question far beyond the little self-absorbed self and to wonder, who needs you? Who loves you? To whom are you accountable? To whom do you answer? Whose life is altered by your choices? With whose life, whose lives, is your own inextricably bound up in obvious and invisible ways? To consider this relational nature of our covenanting faith leads to this set of questions. Whose are you? Who loves you? Who needs you? To whom are you accountable? To whom do you answer? Whose life is altered by your choices? Whose lives are bound up inextricably with yours in obvious and invisible ways? And if our covenant is bolstered by shared values and a common mission, I would add one more question. Who and what are we here for? What are we here for? I can't answer that question for you, but I hope you take it seriously as one to consider for yourselves as individuals and as a congregation. I can answer for myself. But to answer that question, I really do need to go back to the earlier ones. Whose am I? Who loves me? When I started seminary, one of the faculty began our time together with the question, who loved you into this place? So that question of who loves me is more than just a question of affection. It is a question of action. Who, through their actions and their commitments, through their sacrifices and their struggles, made it possible for me to be here where I am today? Who loved me into this place? I think of generations of Black people, some who I know, some who I will never, ever know, who struggled and sacrificed so that generations after them, so that I would have a better life, one that moved us closer to that self-determination that Adams talks about. And I think of all the non-Black people whose commitment to that vision kept them in a struggle that seemed not their own, who, when they dared to look deeper, beyond the surface, to our interconnectedness, understood that none of us can live fully into the promise of this life if our sisters and brothers, if our siblings cannot also live fully into the promise of their lives. So then, who am I accountable to? To whom do I answer? I am accountable to the generations of people who loved me into this place. And I'm accountable to the generations of people who will come after me. Some who I know and cherish, and many, many more who I will never know. Because I do believe that we are interconnected, that I can only live fully into the promise of this life if my sisters and brothers can also. That is my covenant with this life, with what Adams so poetically calls the creative, sustaining, commanding, judging, transforming powers of the universe, with what some of us call God, and what others of us call humanity. And that covenant depends on faith, a faith that though the universe is beyond my control, there is a divine or human love that will not let us go. A faith that I am not the only one called to act on our interconnectedness. And so, what am I here for? As a Unitarian Universalist here, as a minister of this congregation, I am here to be in a community of people who covenant with me into this greater purpose. What am I here for? I am here to cultivate a spiritual community. I am here to honor every individual's search for truth and meaning. I am here to act against exclusion, oppression, and violence. I am here to nurture the health of the earth. I am here to work for peace in my heart and the world around me. I am here, too, in the face of fear and hatred and injustice, to choose love. That is my covenant, my promise, grounded in faith and born in love. Please join me rising in body or in spirit as you feel called and able in our closing hymn number 6, Just As Long As I Have Breath. in your gray hymnal.
Feel free to stand if you like.
With the words printed in your order of service. We extinguish this flame,
but not the light of truth, the warmth of community, or the fire of commitment. These we carry in our hearts until we are together again.
And sometimes people like to hold hands or elbows or in some way connect with each other for our closing words. Covenants are intentional. Covenants are audacious. Covenants are a promise that can change our lives together in this faith. Together we will be stronger. Together we will be wiser. Together we will be gentler. We promise to recognize our uniqueness, to treasure our faith, to honor our neighbors with holiness. We covenant to be committed to each other. To consider each is significant. To consider each as valuable. We covenant to be invitational, to be accepting, to speak grace-filled truth, to forgive each other over and over again. And yes, to love. Our covenants stand firm. It is embodied of faith in each other. It is our blessing to each other. It is our commitment to each other. May we hold this community as a precious gift. May we hold our relationships together as gifts that transcend borders. May we carry forth the intention of our covenant, the audacity of our covenant, the promise of our covenant. Now and always. May it be so.
Thank you. Thank you.